and elsewhere.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and I start my broadcast every day, my program, with a particular greeting, a special greeting to those seated in heavenly places in Messiah. And the name of this broadcast is Cross the Border. And those two things, they kind of fit together. Because when I say that we're seated in heavenly places in Messiah, well, I'm talking about a heavenly kingdom. Yes, a kingdom. A kingdom like, unlike all the kingdoms of this world. But in a way, it is like all of the kingdoms of this world. All of the kingdoms of this world are a mere image, a mere shadow of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Those two things pretty much mean the same thing in the scripture. But they're a mere shadow, an image of his kingdom. And like his kingdom, the kingdoms of this world, they have heads or kings or presidents, presiding people that preside over the kingdom. There's some type of authority structure in the kingdom, in the kingdoms of men, as well as there is in the kingdom of heaven. But laws, kingdoms have laws. So every kingdom you go into has its own set of laws. And then, of course, what are laws without enforcement? What are laws without enforcement? So there's some type of enforcement for the laws of every kingdom. The kingdom of heaven, however, is unlike all of the kingdoms of this world. The kingdoms of this world, they take the earth and they divide it up with imaginary lines, or perhaps build fences and or use rivers or whatever natural barriers there are to define the boundaries of their kingdom. At the same time, the king of the kingdom of heaven, he says, the earth is mine and the fullness thereof. It's like the difference when the Messiah was talking about, or when he was tempted about paying taxes, he said, show me a penny, you know, show me a coin. And it's like the difference between the image and the inscription that are on the coin and the coin itself. The image and the inscription, that's all they are, is an image. The substance belongs to the Almighty, the one who created it. And so it is with the earth, and all of the kingdoms of men on the earth belong to him, because he owns the substance thereof. And however, his kingdom, unlike the kingdoms of this world, doesn't have boundaries on the earth. Since he owns it all, his kingdom overlays all the kingdoms of the world, and his kingdom is everywhere. And those that belong to his kingdom can be anywhere at any time, and the kingdom is with them. And that's why I call this program Cross the Border. The Holy Spirit gave me that one day as a name for my ministry and as a message to cross the border into his kingdom and live forever because his kingdom is the only kingdom that will last forever. So a very important passage to make into his kingdom. So, and when you're in his kingdom, you are seated in heavenly places in Messiah, because it's by his blood that we are in his kingdom, that we receive that grace from him to enter into life eternal now. And we have that earnest down payment, his Holy Spirit, which is the earnest down payment of our salvation. Okay, we're continuing here our study in Job. And last time we left off at Job chapter 39, about verse 1. And this is, you know, we've gone through the entire book, and we found that Job's calamity came upon him. His affliction came upon him. And of course, if you know anything about the book of Job, you already know the end of the story. But sometimes it's good to read the story fresh and not look so much at the end of it while we're reading the book, you know, because every book of the scripture is like a revelation that we open at the beginning of the book, and we allow it to unfold as we go through to the end of the book and the conclusion of the matter at hand. Job is afflicted. His friends come in his affliction. They sit for 7 days in silence with him, which I find amazing. and then they speak to Job, and Job speaks back to them. Job proclaims some just mighty things, and he says, "I know that my Redeemer liveth," and he establishes his foot in righteousness. Of course, the foundation of that righteousness being his Redeemer. His friends don't see it that way. They see him as self-righteous, and they accuse him of that. And they go back and forth with their speech until chapter 38, when finally the Almighty himself speaks. We have here, and I'm going to go back and jump back to chapter 38, verse 1, because, you know, this is where the Almighty speaks, and he speaks in a voice, you know, that certainly Job and his friends are hearing for some reason. You know, I don't know that I've ever heard him speak like that. He's given me his word. He speaks through his word. He speaks through his spirit. He speaks through his people. He speaks through his creation. But I've never heard anything like this. He's spoken to me in dreams and visions, but nothing like an audible voice where, you know, I was with three other guys and they could all hear it too. So I want to pay special attention to this. Job, so I'm going to jump back a whole chapter and pretty much believe that we'll be finishing Job up today because we have 4 chapters left. We may and we may not. We'll see. We've got almost 2 hours to do it, so it's likely we will. So chapter 38, verse 1, then the Lord, and just as a note for those of you who don't know it or are new to this broadcast, the Lord in the Old Testament, when it's attached to the H3068, it is the name of the Creator. So he answered, you know, and by name, he's name, so it's not anything else. It doesn't say Elohim or... what is the other one? Adonai, which is actually means Lord, or we would interpret it Lord in the English. So we have him, the Creator by name, answers Job out of the whirlwind. So here's this. I've never seen a whirlwind speak to me. I've had them blow dust all over me and make a mess of my yard, but we get whirlwinds around here. We don't get tornadoes. They never get that big where I live. But anyway, so the Almighty Creator, by name, he answers Job out of the whirlwind and says, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?" It's a question. And is he answering Job, or is he asking Job, who are these guys over here You know, so it's something to think about. Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee. And answer thou me, where were you? Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who has laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth, as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and brake up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, Hitherto shalt thou come, but no further. And here shall thy proud waves be stayed. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the dayspring to know his place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it? It is turned as clay to the seal, and they stand as a garment, and from the wicked their light is withholden, and the high arm shall be broken. Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea, or hast thou walked in search of the depth? Have the gates of death been opened unto thee, or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare, if thou knowest it all. Where is the way where light dwelleth? And as for darkness, where is the place thereof, that thou shouldest take it to the bound thereof, and that thou shouldest know the paths to the house thereof? Knowest thou it? Because it was when then born. Knowest thou it because thou wast then born? That's the question. Or because the number of thy days is great? Hast thou entered into the treasures of snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war? By what way is the light parted, which scattereth the east wind upon the earth? And who hath divided the watercourse for the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightning of thunder, to cause the rain on the earth where no man is, or the wilderness wherein there is no man, to satisfy the desolate and waste ground, and to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth? Hath the rain a father? Or who hath begotten the drops of dew? Out of whose womb came the ice and the hoary frost of heaven? Who hath gendered it? The waters are hid as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in his season? Or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? Canst thou lift up thy voice to the clouds, that abundance of waters may cover thee? Canst thou send lightnings, that they may go and say unto thee, Here we are? Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts, or who hath given understanding to the heart? Who can number the clouds in wisdom, or who can stay the bottles of heaven? When the dust groweth into hardness, and the clods cleave fast together, wilt thou hunt the prey for the lion, or fill the appetite of the young lions when they couch in their dens and abide in the covert to lie in wait? Who provideth the raven? Who provideth for the raven his food when his young ones cry unto God? they wander for lack of meat. When the Almighty asks questions, who can answer? That is the question. Who can answer? And perhaps that's just the point. Who can answer? The Almighty continues to question these men. And do you think perhaps Job's friends will have an answer to God or bring an accusation against him? I think not. No, it says there that that the Almighty answered Job, but it doesn't say that his friends went away and he asked Job the question. So I would have to believe that Job's friends are still present while this questioning is going on from the Almighty. Knowest thou the time? Chapter 39. Knowest thou the time when the wild goats of the rock bring forth? Or canst thou mark when the hinds do calve? Canst thou number the months that they fulfill? Or knowest thou the time when they bring forth? They bow themselves, or they bow themselves. They bring forth their young ones. They cast out their sorrows. Their young ones are in good liking. They grow up with corn. They go forth and return not unto them. Who hath sent out the wild ass free? Or who hath loosed the bands of the wild ass? Whose house I have made the wilderness and the barren land his dwellings? He scorneth the multitude of the city, neither regardeth the crying of the driver. The range of the mountains is his pasture, and he searcheth after every green thing. Will the unicorn be willing to serve thee, or abide by thy crib? Canst thou bind the unicorn with his band in the furrow, or will he harrow the valleys after thee? And of course, the unicorn is not a horse with a horn. The unicorn, I believe, would be the like the hippopotamus, more likely than the mythical creature here. And the questions are fitting for the hippopotamus. They don't bind them like an ox to dig the furrow or to plow the valley. Okay. Verse 11. Wilt thou trust him because his strength is great? Or wilt thou leave thy labor to him? Wilt thou believe him that he hath? Wilt thou believe him that he will bring home thy seed and gather it into thy barn? Gavest thou the goodly wings unto the peacocks, or wings and feathers unto the ostrich, which leaveth her eggs in the earth and warmeth them in the dust, and forgetteth that the foot may crush them, or that the wild beast may break them? She is hardened against her young ones, as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain without fear, because God hath deprived her of wisdom, neither hath he imparted to her understanding. What time she lifteth up herself on high, she scorneth the horse and his rider. Hast thou given the horse strength? Hast thou clothed his neck with thunder? Canst thou make him afraid as a grasshopper? The glory of his nostrils is terrible. He paweth in the valley and rejoiceth in his strength. He goeth on to meet the armed men. He mocketh at fear and is not affrighted. Neither turneth he back from the sword. The quiver rattleth against him, the glittering spear and the shield. He swalloweth the ground with fierceness and rage. Neither believeth he that it is the sound of the trumpet. He saith among the trumpets, Ha, ha! And he smelleth the battle afar off, the thunder of the captains and the shouting. Doth the hawk fly by wisdom and stretch her wings toward the south? Doth the eagle mount up at thy command and make her nest on high? She dwelleth and abideth on the rock. upon the crag of the rock and the strong place. From thence she seeketh her prey, and her eyes behold far off. Her young ones also suck up blood, and where the slain are, there is she. Moreover, chapter 40. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. And Job answered the Lord and said, Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I proceed no further. What can you say to the Almighty? What can we teach him that he doesn't know? When we consider how little we know. Now, there's that question that my good friend in Bonds right now, Kent Hovind, asks. He says, when you come upon an atheist, or you just ask him that one question, do you know everything that there is to know? I don't. And even the most prideful man, as knowledgeable as he thinks he might be, he can't admit that he knows everything else that there is to know. Otherwise, he makes himself a fool. So then you ask the next question. The next question is, do you know 50% of everything there is to know? Well, they might think a little bit longer, but you know, if they have any wisdom at all, or know that even if they say they know 50% of everything they know, well, see, to answer that, to believe that you know 50% of everything there is to know, well, you'd have to know everything there is to know first to know what 50% of it is. So really, it's a loaded question, isn't it? Do you know 50% of everything there is to know? And of course, even the prideful man would have to admit, no, I don't. Is it possible, then, that the knowledge of God and His great salvation is outside of the 50% of everything you do know? Let's just say, perhaps you do know 50%. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Why should the Father bother to call us His children? Why should the Spirit hear it when we pray? Why should the Father bother to be concerned with all our needs? It's all because of what the Son has done.
Father, Father, Father. once we were strangers from the promise. We were doubters worse than Thomas. Till the Spirit opened up our eyes. Now He has offered us adoption. And we have taken up the option.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net. The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Your area has just unexpectedly flooded. The power's out, so is the water, and you are thirsty. But wait, outside, look, there's lots of water, and then you see it.
Oh my gosh! What is that floating in the water? And what is that odor?
No problem. You thought ahead and own a Berkey water purification system. Berkey has revolutionized the way water is purified simply and naturally. Requiring no power, electricity, or water pressure, the powerful black Berkey elements extract pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, chemicals, heavy metals, and other nasties that might be found in flood water. Berkey systems can purify treated water during normal times, and during unexpected emergencies, they can get rid of the unhealthy stuff in raw, untreated water.
For more information on the powerful Berkey line of products, call First Amendment Radio at 559-781-3773 or order on the web at firstamendmentradio.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. I'm Nicholas, and we're in the Book of Job. When I left off, I was discussing an illustration that has really stuck in my mind, and I think it's something that any of us could use anytime, especially when confronted by an unbeliever or an atheist. And of course, the illustration is that you start with a few questions with your atheist friends who want you to join their camp, and They tell you that, you know, you're a fool, that you're delusional, that you have a God delusion, as the famous atheist has wrote the book, The God Delusion. So we're delusional, but they must know everything. Talk about a delusion. See, for For them to believe that we have a God delusion, that means they assume that they know everything there is to know. So we need to question them on that point. Do you know everything there is to know, Mr. Author of the God delusion, and all of his followers out there, that their only hope is dirt? Yes, that's right. They hope that they can live their life any way they want, and in the end, they just go to the grave and turn into dirt. That's their great hope. I'm not going to trade my hope for that hope. So I ask them the question, do you know, Mr. Atheist, do you know everything there is to know? And he might think for a few seconds and realize that what a fool he would be if he said yes. So he'll say, no, I don't. Of course I don't know everything there is to know. And you go, well, do you know half of everything there is to know? He might hem and haw, so you can check him on this point. He might hem and haw and think for a few more minutes, and he'll probably end up saying no, because it's the same question, really. If you know half of everything there is to know, then you must know everything to know what half of everything is. But you check him and you say, well, let's just assume. Just assume for a minute. Let's pretend. And let's say that you do know half of everything there is to know. You know, that still leaves a huge hole in their knowledge, doesn't it? And could it be that my God delusion is the truth, but it's just in the half of everything that you don't know? And because you don't know it, you believe it's a delusion, so therefore you must really believe that you know everything there is to know. And of course, then they bring on their arguments about how bad religion is, and how many wars, and, oh, wait a minute, what about those atheist guys, you know, like Pol Pot and Stalin and you know, all of those guys who killed millions for their unbelief, their religion of unbelief, their atheism, their religion of Darwinism and evolution, yeah, many more. Mm-hmm. And of course, the guys that ran the Inquisition, they weren't Bible believers anywhere. They are just Neo-Babylonians, you know, with their capital over there in the Vatican. They're just pretend Christians trying to gather everything into themselves and control everything. So, but true Bible believers, they don't use force. So all of those arguments, but yeah, just throw it back at them. What about Lenin? What about Pol Pot? You know, they weren't believers. They believed what you believed. They didn't believe in God. They were supposedly atheists. The greatest thing in their life is what you want to put us all under, the state. And if your liberty comes from the state, then the state can take it away. I'd rather have my liberty come from the Almighty Creator. Well, enough aside there. And just I thought about that because, you know, the Almighty is answering Job these questions. And who can answer them? And you think about all these things. I don't know these things. I can observe some of them, but it doesn't mean I really know. You know, it's like I observe light. I know how it works. I know how gravity works, but why? What is it? I still don't have the answer to those questions. All we have are theories. Man is full of theories. You know, we observe, we come up with a theory. That's it. That's how it works. And some theories are lies, like the theory of evolution is all based upon lies. Sorry, all of you guys that believe in it. I believed in it once, too, because I grew up in the public fool system. And I learned all the lies. And then when I began to learn the truth, I had a mixture of lies and truth. And I'm glad to say now that, I have faith. I trust in the word of the Almighty and what he says is true. And all of the things I don't know, it's okay because he knows them and he's in charge. So anyway, moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. And Job answered the Lord, Yahuwah, and he said, behold, I am vile. I mean, before an almighty, pure, and holy God, what could we say? That we are vile. What shall I answer thee? What will lay my hand upon? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. Then answered the Lord, the Almighty, by name, unto Job out of the whirlwind, and said, Gird up thy loins now like a man. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. Wilt thou also disannul my judgment? Wilt thou condemn me, that thou may be righteous? Hast thou an arm like God, or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? Deck thyself now with majesty and excellency, and array thyself with glory and beauty. Cast abroad the rage of thy wrath, and behold, every one that is proud, and abase him. Look on every one that is proud, and bring him low, and tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together, and bind their faces in secret. Then will I also confess unto thee, that thine own right hand can save thee. Behold, now Behemoth, which I made with thee, he eateth the grass as an ox, and lo now his strength is in his loins. Behold now Behemoth, which I made with thee, he eateth grass as an ox, lo now his strength is in his loins, and his force is in the navel of his belly. He moveth his tail like a cedar. And I do agree here that this Behemoth would be the Brontosaurus, or one of those large lizards, terrible lizards. That's what dinosaur means, terrible lizard. And because what else has a tail like a cedar? And I do believe with Kent Hovind that, yes, dinosaurs, those great lizards, walked and lived with men. Lo, now his strength, and he moveth his tail like a cedar. The sinews of his stones are wrapped together. His bones are as strong pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron. He is the chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make his sword to approach unto him. Surely the mountains bring forth food, where all the beasts of the field play. He lieth under the shady trees, in the covert of the reeds and fens. The shady trees cover him with their shadow. The willows of the brook compass him about. Behold, he drinketh up a river, and hasteth not. He trusteth that he can draw up Jordan in his mouth. He taketh it with his eyes, his nose pierceth through snares. We're in chapter 41. Canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook? Now, of course, Leviathan is the great sea monster, because if you're going to draw him out with a hook, that would mean that he's in the sea. And I do believe there's this picture of a Japanese fishing boat that caught one here recently. And you hear about the Loch Ness monsters and all these. So I believe there's still these great creatures in the sea, the Leviathan. I believe that's a reference to them. Canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook, or his tongue with a cord, which thou lettest down? Canst thou put a hook in his nose, or bore his jaw through with a thorn? Will he make many supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee? Will he make a covenant with thee? Wilt thou take him for a servant forever? Wilt thou play with him as with a bird? Or wilt thou bind him for the maidens? Shall the companions make a banquet of him? Shall they part him among the merchants? Canst thou fill his skin with barbed irons, or his head with fish spears? Lay thine hand upon him. Remember the battle do no more. Behold, the hope of him is in vain. Shall not one be cast down, even at the sight of him? None is so fierce that dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand before me? Who hath prevented me, that I should repay him? Whosoever is under the whole heaven is mine. Will I not conceal his parts, nor his power, nor his comely proportion? Who can discover the face of his garment, or who can come to him with his double bridle? Who can open up the doors of his face? His teeth are terrible round about. His scales are his pride, shut up together as with a close seal. One is so near to another that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another, and they stick together, that they cannot be sundered. By his kneesings a light doth shine. I don't know what a kneesing is. To sneeze, a sneezing, a kneesing. By his kneesings a light doth shine, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. Out of his nostrils go a smoke, as out of a seething pot or cauldron. His breath kindleth coals, and a flame goeth out of his mouth. A fire-breathing dragon, perhaps? Yes, maybe it's more than myth. In his neck remaineth strength, and sorrow is turned into joy before him. The flakes of his flesh are joined together. They are firm in themselves. They cannot be moved. His heart is as firm as a stone, yea, as hard as a piece of the nether millstone. When he raised up himself, the mighty are afraid. By reason of breakings they purify themselves. The sword of him that layeth at him cannot hold, the spear, the dart, nor the habergeon. He esteemeth iron as straw, and brass as rotten wood. The arrow cannot make him flee. Sling stones are turned with him into stubble. Darts are counted as stubble. He laugheth at the shaking of the spear. Sharp stones are under him. He spreadeth sharp pointed things upon the mire. He maketh the deep to boil like a pot. He maketh the sea like a pot of ointment. He maketh a path to shine after him. One would think the deep to be hoary. Upon earth there is not his like. Who is made without fear? He beholdeth all high things. He is a king over all the children of pride. Yes, and perhaps in the days of Job, they were still fighting off these large lizards. Now, Kent Hovind, before we continue in, let's see, which chapter are we going to? The very last chapter of Job. Kent Hovind has a theory, and it makes perfect sense to me, is that before the flood, because Job came along not long after the flood, definitely before the children of Israel, the nation Israel was born, because we see by his genealogy, his placement, the land of Uz. You can get into the genealogies and search out about where in history Job appeared. Anyway, Kent Hovind has a theory, and if you haven't heard of Kent Hovind, well, then you should listen to him. We do air him here, and you can look up and watch his video series, Creation Seminars, he has. Creation Evangelism, CSE, Creation Science Evangelism, that's what it is, seminars. Excellent seminars. There's, I believe, eight DVDs in the seminar, and you should watch every one at least a dozen times or more. something appropriate for all of your children and your whole family to watch. A very good educational material. I suggest it to anyone. But I learned through his seminars that that lizards, and this is a fact today that is known, that lizards grow as long as they live. They never stop growing. That's an interesting fact. Okay, it's like, you know, it's not like us. You know, we grow to maturity and then we stop growing. And most animals or mammals do, but lizards are a little different. And I guess that would include snakes. As long as they live, they keep growing bigger. That's interesting, isn't it? I never knew that, but now I find out, yes, that's a fact. Lizards grow as long as they live. Now, if you go back to pre-flood times, when men lived to be, you know, 900 years old, and that's the oldest recorded man, was 930-something, I believe, and they called him Methuselah, the longest living, recorded living man in history, was Methuselah, and he lived to be 900 and some years old. Now, if lizards also before the flood lived long periods of time and they kept growing bigger every year because they never reach a point of maturity where they stop growing, well, then lizards would be terrible lizards, which is the root of the word dinosaur, means terrible lizard, which means that they're just huge. That makes them terrible, a terror, if they're huge. And apparently that you have the Leviathan in the deep that grew, or may perhaps still even grows. They still spot these things. And that Japanese fishing boat, they have that picture of one they caught. But apparently they dropped it in the ocean because of the stench of it. They couldn't stand it. That's the story anyway. And Japan put it on its stamp one year. They had the picture of the Leviathan that this fishing boat caught. And of course there are the rumors and of, you know, Loch Ness and other sea monsters in some deep channels. And perhaps these are also the Leviathan of the deep, which perhaps still exists today. But the lizards, going back to the lizards and the dinosaurs. So I have the belief, and I believe the evidence is there, that dinosaurs actually lived and walked with men, and they were the product of the environment before the flood, wherein men lived long periods of time, and so did all of the animals and other creatures. And being that lizards grow in size as long as they lived, if they lived long lives, they could become enormous. And then after the flood, we still see that the length, the years of men started dropping off to where we have it today, 70. The years of a man is, 3 score and 10? That's 70 years. And then I read in another part of the scripture where 120 years seems to be the limit of a man's life that the scripture says. So you have a man should live to get his 3 score and 10, and 120 years is the limit. And I should note that, but I did note it as I read it, but I didn't make a note of exactly where that is in the scripture. But that was my understanding. So I believe that lizards and dinosaurs are the same thing, except the dinosaurs, you know, they have the Brachiosaurus, the Brontosaurus. These are just different type of lizards that grew up to be huge, you know, basically. That I have to believe that. I have to believe that men hunted them. You know, this is what we're reading about here in Job. They hunted them and killed them. So I believe that they're real. But they did live with man. It wasn't millions of years ago when the sun, which is shrinking, would have been big enough to hit them in the head. Or the moon, which is moving further away from the earth, like Kent Hovind says, I know what happened to the dinosaurs. You know, because if the moon is slowly moving away from the earth, well, then whatever millions of years ago, the moon was so close that it hit them in the head and they all got mooned. So anyway, that's kind of a joke. Okay, we're We're finishing up. We're in the last chapter of Job here. And we have more time than we have Book of Job left. So we'll finish it up here. And then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Can't even imagine standing before the Almighty Creator and seeing him like that. Job continues. Well, that was that. I believe that's where Job ends it. Really, he says, wherefore I abhor myself, I see thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. And it was so that after the Lord, of course by name again, Yahuwah, had spoken these words unto Job, and the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, so they were there, my wrath is kindled against thee, and against thy two friends, for you have not spoken of me the thing that is right. So now you go back, you know, and that's why we have to weigh the words of these men, and we have to weigh them, whether the things they're saying are true or not. Not everything in the Bible is true. And here he says, you've spoken things that are not right to these guys. So we have to weigh their words in the light of that revelation. When he says, you have spoken things, you have spoken words that is not right, as my servant Job has. And so here he qualifies and says that Job has spoken right words. Well, here comes our break. We'll be back after the news. You're listening to Cross the Border. So stick around as we close in Job.